In the fight against climate change, the switch from fossil fuels to renewable energy is a top priority. But in places like Nevada, which is 80% public land, renewable development is often built on the same wide open spaces cherished by conservationists, recreationists, and Native Americans. The Nature Conservancy recently proposed a way around this conflict. John Zablocki is the Southern Nevada Conservation Director for the group. John, welcome.
Thank you, Heidi. Happy to be here.
John, the project that you're helping to develop with the Nevada Mining Association is called Mining the Sun. What's the basic proposal?
So the basic proposal with Mining the Sun is to make use of the abundance of lands that we already have in the state that have been impacted by prior economic development, economic activity, sites such as former mining areas or active mining areas in the state.
So Mining the Sun is looking at other lands besides just mining?
Yeah, it's sort of a broad catch-all title that we've given to the broad initiative, but the basic idea is to turn the industrial areas of the past into the clean energy hubs of the future for the state.
Are these brownfields widely available all over the state? Are there a lot of them?
They are all over. There's a greater concentration in the northern part of the state, but you find them scattered throughout. And there's quite an abundance. There's EPA assesses over 2.8 million acres, I think.
In Nevada?
Yes.
And you said they're concentrated in the north. Does that conflict with the availability of sun, which tends to be greater in southern Nevada?
There is greater solar resource in southern Nevada. But the thing is that mines themselves are large consumers of power. You know, that's why there's transmission lines. That's why there's substations to mines. That's why there's all the existing infrastructure that's there. You know, one of the coal power plants in the state is located on a mine.
Which
one? The TS power plant to power that operation.
When we talked with the developers of the proposed Gemini solar project northeast of Las Vegas, they said one of the key elements was location. They wanted it to be near the kinds of things you're talking about, that existing infrastructure. Is it ready to go for solar, or would it have to be retrofitted? How would that work?
So this is a subject that the EPA has actually assessed. The EPA has an initiative called Repowering America's Lands, where they've screened these sites across the country. And there's a huge amount of sites that they have determined meet the technical suitability criteria for renewable energy development. And not just solar energy development, but also wind, geothermal, storage. There's access to transmission, there's roads, there's existing infrastructure, there's the threshold of the resource availability to make it viable. But why doesn't it happen? Why don't we see it? If you fly over the state, you will see these large areas that are, you know, active mines that are a source of economic activity in rural parts of the state. You'll see areas that are former mines that, you know, have reached the end of their lifetime. And what you don't see is large renewable energy development out there. You don't see large battery complexes. You don't see large solar fields.
Why?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. And that's the question that we set out to first ask and then solve with the Mining the Sun initiative. And the answer is that there's no silver bullet with it. It's a combination of factors. What it ultimately comes down to is complexity. So if you are a solar developer, it's maybe not as straightforward to develop on an old mining site. Maybe there's risks that you're incurring. Maybe there's liabilities that you don't see. This is an issue even with groups that are trying to remediate or clean up mining sites. So, for example, the group Trout Unlimited has been championing Good Samaritan legislation to try and make it easier for groups to, you know, work on old mines for beneficial purposes. So you have that aspect as well.
Is that because these mines are on private land? Do those complexities come from that ownership structure?
Yeah, so mines are often, and I'm not an expert on mining, so, you know, a lot of this is just from absorbing kind of what we've learned in the process of this. But, you know, mining operations, there's often a mixture. There's private land and there's public land. So that's yet another complexity to the equation. You also are dealing with BLM land use permits. So when a mine is developed or when a mine goes into closure, you know, there's a plan of operations, there's permits associated with it. And most of those permits didn't consider renewable energy development. So anything that goes back and would have to amend a plan creates a layer of complexity or perceived risk. If you add all these things up, it's enough to tip the balance away from brownfield development onto greenfield development. greenfield development being what you see with large, you know, large solar projects and intact areas.
So in other words, it's easier to go to a big swath of BLM land, kind of like a blank slate that's never had anything
exactly.
done on it, and have it designated for that than to go to a brownfield and have it redesignated for some new purpose.
Exactly. And that's the shift that we're trying to make of, you know, looking beyond single use of an area. And, you know, we can have a mine site, but let's also make it a renewable energy site. Let's treat this land use planning like multi-use master planning instead of we do solar over here, we do mining over here, and we end up taking up more land in the process.
So what needs to happen for that to be possible?
So that's an excellent question. And when we started off on this journey and working on this, we knew that we didn't really have the answers to that. So I would fly to Salt Lake or fly up to Reno and look out at these areas, and I would ask that question. But I didn't know the answers. And if you talk to solar developers, you would hear one thing. If you talk to mining companies, you would hear another thing. So we actually got the University of Virginia Law School, their Environmental and Regulatory Law Clinic, to actually study this issue in Nevada. And they mapped out a series of barriers, policy barriers, none of which are insurmountable. So one of those barriers was, for example, in the state regulatory code, when it lists what are the valid post-productive uses of mine lands, renewable energy development and storage was not listed on there. So technically you could do it, but it was sort of a gray area. And if you're a large solar developer and, you know, there's a lot of finance and there's pressure for permitting,
you don't want that hurdle.
Ambiguity is not your friend. So what we did was we went and met with the mining association. We pointed this out and we developed a proposal together to just simply add the five words renewable energy storage and development as a recognized post-productive use of mine lands in the state of Nevada. That was widely supported. It's been one of the great things about Mining the Sun is as someone who's worked on conservation issues on public lands, there's conflict across the board. You'd be hard pressed to find any issue where there's not conflict. But Mining the Sun seems to be the one thing where almost everybody can agree. It seems to span divides between urban and rural, between Republican and Democrat, between old economy and new economy. And so we were able to marshal that support and get that reg change through. And now that's officially a recognized use of mine lands in the state of Nevada.
How many other changes like that need to happen before this is ready to go?
Well, I'm pretty optimistic that in the not too distant future, we'll start seeing some good things happening on the ground. I think there's a groundswell of interest. And so I think even without further changes, we're likely to start seeing some things happening.
How soon?
I can't give a straight answer to that, but I think it's coming. It's on its way. And the one thing that's important to point out, I think that this is a huge opportunity, but I also think that when we're talking about renewable energy transitions, we're talking about a change in the future of infrastructure on the level of the interstate highway system. It's a massive change. So while we do think this is a huge opportunity for the state, and there's a massive opportunity all around the country and all around the world for this type of transformative change to occur, in the meantime, there's still going to be need for development to meet these goals quickly. We at the Nature Conservancy think there's a good approach for how to go about doing that with proactive planning and offsite mitigation and those sorts of things.
So that kind of fits into that all of the above approach that lots of people in renewable development talk about. It's not just one thing or another, but a little bit of everything.
Yeah. I mean, we really advocate for a proactive, smart from the start approach to things. And this is a really key component of that. And just to give you a little bit of figure, you know, if you look, and I can share this fact sheet, the EPA assesses that there's over 1.5 million megawatts of potential for sites that they have screened that are technically and economically viable if these policy interventions would be made. And just to put that in context, I may be off in the exact figure, but I think Nevada has a capacity of around 12,000 megawatts or somewhere in that ballpark. So we're really talking about a huge potential here. And with the advent of battery storage, I think this could really be a game changer for the path forward.
The Nature Conservancy's John Zablocki is with us. The group has a plan for building solar arrays on mining brownfields rather than public lands. John, you mentioned that your group is working with the Nevada Mining Association on this project and that you had widespread buy-in. Was there any resistance anywhere?
I can say that we actually did not encounter any resistance. So with the typical groups where you would have conflict over solar projects or from any different angles, we really didn't find anybody that was opposed to it. Broadly speaking, everybody seems to think, this is a good idea, how do we make it happen? And that's exactly what we're trying to do. And I think we're making progress.
Besides the regulations that you referred to earlier, are there any other obstacles that you have to get out of the way?
Yeah, so there's a number of obstacles. One of them is also just a cultural obstacle. It's just we're talking about a new way of planning, a new way of doing things. You know, historically, mining companies were not planning renewable energy early on into the plan of operations for their mines. That's sort of a new thing. The BLM has not been planning, you know, and creating permitting processes that facilitate that. The federal rules from legislation and Congress have not really addressed this in a comprehensive way. We think those are all solvable challenges. And it's not just in Nevada. Across Appalachia, there's a lot of bipartisan interest in this same topic. Even internationally, mining companies are working all over the world, and this same need for mines to consume energy, they can also produce renewable energy. So we think that there's a huge opportunity, not just in Nevada, but all over the world, and that Nevada and West Virginia and other states in Appalachia can really lead the way in that.
And solar developers are on board with this as well?
They want to build solar projects. So, you know, make it easy for them to do that, and they're going to be on board.
So where are they going to be? What sites are you looking at in Nevada?
So the Nature Conservancy and the Rocky Mountain Institute have partnered to do a technical assessment on this, where we've actually gone through and interviewed stakeholders from all across the state, from counties to agencies, and we've produced a first phase of a technical report that actually maps out where these sites are. The next phase that we're working on is to whittle that down into a portfolio of the most viable sites. I can tell you that there's a couple really good sites, but I can't tell you exactly where they are right now or I'll get in trouble.
When might you be able to tell us that?
Soon.
Can't get you to say anymore. Okay. The Nature Conservancy has worked on this idea already in other parts of the country. Are there any projects being built or planned on brownfield sites in the U.S.?
There are. So there's a number of projects that are in the works out in Appalachia. That's really exciting. And it's the same question there where you have coal mining communities. And, you know, it's one thing to say we're going to stop coal. It's another thing to plan out a positive transition for those communities. And Mining the Sun gives a pathway for doing that. It's sort of a shot at a second chance, a new beginning. And I think it's an exciting thing. It also is important to say on that, you know, a lot of the raw materials for renewable energy development, we're talking about Tesla, for example, the lithium for batteries in those cars or, you know, electrifying the transportation sector, there's a need for copper for that. So the mining industry itself is going to play an important role in that future. And Nevada is, you know, the largest hard rock mining state in the country. So I think that we're well poised to really lead the way in this. And I think that our leadership, you know, at the congressional delegation, at the state level, at the local levels, this is something we can get behind. And, you know, we can figure out how to put a man on the moon. We can figure out how to build renewables on mine lands. And we're going to.
Could former mines be the future for solar in Nevada? The Nature Conservancy's John Zablocki thinks so. John, thanks.
Thank you, Heidi.